You're listening to the Matt and Pat Show.
I'm Pat. He's Matt. And together, we're the Matt and Pat Show.
Welcome to the Matt and Pat Show. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday to you.
You have a grin on your face.
I do. I am quite grinnish in this particular moment in time because I get to be here with you. And we get to do the Matt and Pat Show.
And we're wacky but cute.
And we are definitely very wacky and definitely very cute.
And you're eating your Dole over there.
And I have my tin of world-famous Dole pineapple chunks, which I've been eating.
Okay, now...
And I had my Greens Plus bar earlier, so I won't eat that over the course of the show.
I'm eating a banana.
And you have banana. Are you happy to see me, or is that a banana that you're eating?
Exactly. I've noticed something interesting. Because my wife...
Oh, you have a second banana.
No, this is for... this is someone else in the studio right now.
Which is not me. Oh, banana. Bananarama.
I've noticed something interesting about different Dole products. And it made me think about different types of personalities that we have, in the human race. We have...
In terms of their relationship to foods?
No. Just personalities.
Oh, okay.
You have different, for example, what you're eating right now.
A pineapple chunk.
Pineapple chunks. But they also have...
Pineapple rings.
Well, they have the pineapple slices, right? Which I like. I like those. They also have the crushed pineapple, which is tiny little pieces.
It's not my type of favorite.
There you go. And I don't like that one either. I like the slices. And I was just thinking about it going, I wonder how that relates to our different types of personalities. You know, like why do you like one?
Why do I like the chunks?
Why do you like a chunk versus a slice?
Well,
or you don't
I think.
Why don't you like the crust?
Well, for me, I like the chunky nature of the pineapple because it has a much fuller, there's actually a chunk, right? It's a fuller piece of pineapple.
Uh-huh.
So it's more meaty for me.
If I
could use that terminology.
Yeah, okay.
So as opposed to the ones that are already kind of pulpy, smaller, meshed up.
Get caught in your teeth or something
It's not as fulfilling as I engage in the eating of
it. As you bite down and it all juices out of your mouth and everything.
You know, it's interesting. I prefer this.
Yeah,
plus, the other thing I have to add, though, to be fair... This is the tin that Mark bought me. So this is the last pineapple chunk of which Mark gave me a little while back. But I always get the chunks anyway.
Anyways, right, exactly. Now, see, for me, and that's interesting that you say that. You're talking about eating meaty and things like that. For me, and I'm sure I wasn't like this as a kid, but for me, I'm a very, very neat eater. You know, I don't like to spill stuff on me. You know, I don't like stuff, you know, like on my hands. You know, I have to, you know, if I eat a food and I get something on my mouth and I'm after every bite, I'm literally wiping my mouth, cleaning it. So I'm not a neat freak in that sense, but, you know, I'm a very neat eater. And I like the slices because they're thin. It doesn't matter if they're bigger.
And they're easier to maintain, to manage, I guess I should say.
Well, it's, you know, I can take the slice and I can take half of it and I can get it in my mouth and it's very thin and then just chew it up and swallow it, right? As opposed to it gushing out and it going everywhere and that sort of thing. And it's the same thing with, like, take for example, I really like peanut butter. I like peanuts. I like peanut butter.
Oh, I like peanuts.
I like chocolate. So Reese's Pieces, out of all the candies, those are my favorite. I love Reese's Pieces. But the same token, I don't take a Reese's Pieces and hold it in my hand and then bite it, because then I'm going to get, like, freaking chocolate all over my hand. So it's the same sort of thing. It's not a big, thick candy bar sort of thing that I'm constantly having to, like, you know, hold on to and, you know, eat and eat and eat like this. I simply pull off the thing and slide the whole Reese's in my mouth and eat it. Right? And I'm done. There's no mess. There's no... You know, issues like that.
Well, you know what's in there?
So it's the same thing with the slices for me.
Two little aspects about myself that I've noticed over the years in terms of eating food.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I predominantly eat on only one side of... When I chew my food, I only chew on one side of my mouth.
Okay.
Most people chew with the full force of their jaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
I only use... I typically only chew my food on one side.
Oh, interesting.
And you can tell by my teeth.
Yes.
Right? One side of my teeth, we're all pristine, all good to go. The other side is more worn down and beaten up.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's just, I've always been like that. I don't know why, but just it is. The other thing, when I eat my food, I typically will only eat one particular food on my plate. I won't kind of mix up the food on my plate.
Like food groups?
Well, just in terms of like, say I have, I don't know, ribs and beans and coleslaw and whatever else.
You'll finish one first?
I will eat one.
Before you go to the other.
Before I go to the next.
Ah. Now, see, for me, I'll mix it up. I'll take a little bit of this, and then I'll take a little bit of that, and I'll go back. And
I've noticed over the last couple of years, I do a little bit of that more now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always just eat one particular food on my plate, and then go to the next.
Uh-huh. Now, well, it's interesting that we're talking about this. And then I brought up that subject.
I mean, there has to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Reason for it.
Well, it goes back to we have different personalities. We're wired differently. We act differently. We were raised differently. You know, it's all about, you know, I've said it before, but it's all about the human condition, right?
Well, I do eat slowly. I definitely eat slowly. In fact, how often do we go out? Now, of course, I may be talking a lot when we go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, I usually eat slower. And so I've noticed if I go out with different people, I'm usually always the last to actually finish the meal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I will just eat slowly and kind of savor the food.
Right.
Because I love it.
Well, talk about food. We were at Dodger Stadium on Sunday.
Oh.
And we were in the dugout club. And we took a picture there and we put up on our Twitter a couple days ago. And it was really interesting because I said to myself, when we go, because obviously when you go dugout club, you've got preferred parking, which literally parks you right next to the stadium. And then the dugout club tickets, you know, actually get you in right behind home plate, and you have the whole restaurant, you know, you can eat as much as you want, buffet there for, you know, hour, 2 hours, or throughout the game. And then you go outside, sit in the seats right behind home plate. And, you know, they basically bring you as much food as you want, you know, up until, like, the eighth inning. And they got their little menu there, and you can order stuff, and hot dogs, and fruit cups, and peanuts, and all that kind of stuff. But what was really interesting was I said, okay, we're going to Dugout Club. We got the preferred parking. Let's take your car. Because I kind of wanted to do a little quasi...
My couch.
Your couch. I wanted to do a little bit of an experiment. I wanted to see how the people that worked there would treat us if we came in your car.
Now, for those listeners who may not be aware...
Well, first of all...
My car...
First of all, they can go to our Twitter.
Oh, and you can see the picture.
You can see the picture because I put it up.
It's a 1988 classic, might I add, Park Avenue Buick with a Delco cassette music stereo player. And at the time... It was
in 88.
It was in 1988. It was a moderately, not high end, but higher end car.
Yeah.
And it has the most awesome aspect of it. It has a highway horn, which sounds like a train.
Right.
But now, 2013.
Describe the condition
it's
of your
definitely,
car.
Well, it's definitely seen better days.
It's seen better days.
I'm missing a hubcap.
It needs a paint job.
Well, the hubcap, a little hubcap story, driving on the 405, when I was teaching high school.
Yeah.
And I get to school one day, and I get out of the car, and I notice my hubcap's missing.
Right.
Oh, bloody hell.
Well, that's...
All right, next day, I'm driving on the 405, and I see my hubcap. I pass my hubcap. There it is. I'm like, bloody hell. Of course, I had to tell my students that, and they thought that was the most hilarious story they ever heard. So, for about a week or so, for the whole week, I would pass my hubcap on the 405 freeway. So then I went to a hubcap specialist, and I said, you know, I have a 1988 Park Avenue Buick Classic, and I'm missing a hubcap. Might you have a hubcap here? And the gentleman said, no. But you can use this hubcap. It's close enough. I said, well, how much is that? $90.
Really? Are you sure you're talking just a hubcap, right?
Well, it's...
Because you can go to Pep Boys and you can buy 4 hubcaps for like $40.
Well, but I was looking for a Park Avenue Buick hubcap, right?
You put any on there.
Well, I
matter.
Could put any on, but this is like the closest to it.
Well, if you're trying to find it, yeah.
I was trying to find an Xactor replica of my hubcap.
An OEM.
$90, right? Yeah. Okay. So he puts it on. Week later, that falls off.
Nice.
And that's on the 405 freeway as well. So both my hubcaps are on the 405 freeway. I'm like, bloody hell. So,
excellent.
Long story short, I'm missing a hubcap.
Yeah. Missing a hubcap. Need a paint job.
The paint is all chipped away.
It's all peeling off.
It's all peeling off.
The headliner is coming off.
The headliner is off. I've actually pulled it off because it was kind of like little drapes.
The driver's side window doesn't roll down. So
no, well, it's an electronic window.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It broke. So I have to, if
you need to get a ticket at a parking thing, whatever, you got to open your door.
I open my door.
This is awesome. So knowing all this, I said, let's take this car into Dodger Stadium with the preferred parking that you park right next to the stadium. And I want to see how they treat us. It's very curious. So... we've got my nephew
behind us
and his girlfriend behind us. And we drive up to the first thing, and here you go with the preferred parking ticket, and you open the door to hand it to him. And then they say, oh, no, just go, right? And later on we find out that my nephew and his girlfriend are cracking up behind
us. Because they saw me open the door.
Because you have to open the door to get to hand him something. So, but the piece de la resistance was you drive past the booth where you'd normally pay to like get into the stadium, and the road splits. It's a direct split. To the right, there's a sign that points general parking.
And the left,
to the left, there's a sign that says preferred parking.
The sheep and the goats get separated.
Sheep and the goats get separated, and there's a employee who's standing right in the middle, as if to say people can't read signs.
People don't read signs.
Or he wants to make sure that people who are not preferred don't head that way. Whatever. Okay.
That's fair enough.
Okay, that's fair enough.
That's all good.
So here we come up the ramp, and lo and behold, he sticks his hand out, and he points to...
directing us towards general parking.
Points to general parking. And I said, there it is.
And at that moment, I held up my golden ticket, preferred parking, little blue... Dodger blue ticket.
And then he acted kind of shocked.
And then he just had this stunned look on his face. it just didn't register.
Didn't register that this car was going into preferred
parking. It's like the Bluesmobile at the end of the Blues Brother movie where it's just all thrashed, right? I mean, that's what my car... It drives well enough.
It drives well.
And I had new brakes put in.
Visually, you would just not expect it.
Well, it's like the Millennium Falcon, right?
You know, let's interject real quick. Tell the valet story about this car.
Oh, which valet story?
The one you talked to about a couple days ago, where you had to go park and the guys go to valet and then.
Oh yes, that story. All right, so I went. I have a stock advisor, right? Because I bought some stock a long time ago. Mm-hmm. All right, groovy. And my stock advisor guy rocks, and he's like, "Hey, let's have our year end meeting, and you know, come over and we'll talk about your portfolio and just hang out." Okay,
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's over in the little posh area of Beverly Hills.
Right.
And it's in this one particular building.
Preferred parking.
And so I sent him an email saying, like, oh, they're going to laugh when I drive up. And he's seen my car. So he sent back an email, like, LOL, basically, for
right,
an email, right?
Right, right.
So I drive over there. And so he said, well, you can just park in front. Don't worry about it. Okay. I'll let them know you're coming. Okay. So I drive up and I park. Now, the car next to me is a Maserati. Right?
Right.
The car next to that is a Porsche.
Right.
The car on the other side is like a Mercedes. The car next to that was a BMW. And then some other swanky car, right?
And the couch.
And then the couch, right? And I get out, and I walk over to one parking attendant, and I said, hi, I'm here to meet my financial advisor. And he said, I could park here, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. He's like, well, you know, what's his name and whatnot, and I'm on the list. Okay, cool.
Right.
And he's like, oh, well, which car is yours? And I said to him, I bet you can guess. And he turned turned and looked at the cars, right? And he started to bust up. Started to laugh. He's like, okay, no problem.
No problem.
You can park there as long as you want.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, all right, awesome, thank you.
That's hysterical. Yeah, so, exactly. So it was the same sort of thing. It's just like to see that guy point to general parking and you're just – and then be in stunned when it's like this thing is going into preferred parking. And we're driving around, you know, we're driving around the stadium because that's how you do it. You drive around the stadium, and there's lots surrounding the stadium. So, you know, some of these people are probably thinking at any moment this particular car
it's
is going
to fall apart.
He's going to hang a left and go into one of those outside lots.
Oh, yes.
But no, we just keep going around the stadium, and then we come back, and now we're at the lot where we're parking.
I had to wave my little.
And you hung it up on the rear view.
Yes.
And it's like, here you go. So we go and we
park.
Then
they let us in.
We go and you park, and we're right next to the stadium, and we took a picture of you standing there, and also a couple other pictures.
Oh, you have to send me those.
Yeah. And we'll have to put them on the webpage, too. So now cut to, we do the game. The game was awesome. It was fun. What did you think about the whole experience?
Well, I'll tell you, after you tell this your story, I have 12 aspects of the Dodger game that I'll just relate.
Oh, okay. So let's...
I prepared for this.
Okay, well, let's skip to the end then. Okay, so the game's over, and we leave. And again, this is just a finishing touch. We come out, and here is the couch parked in preferred parking right next to stadium, and directly to the right in the lane, right next to your car, is a same thing, $100,000 Bentley, right? And yeah, I'm just thinking, I would love...
That owner probably was like, oh my God, I don't want to park next to this car.
I would have loved...
It's probably going to hit my car.
To know what was going through that person's
mind. You know, what
mind.
Type of individual drives this wretched beast of a car? They're probably the people sitting next to us.
I don't know.
Right?
Could have been, for all we know. Yeah, and it was just... That was just funny. I took a picture of that, too. It was just like, wow, just the human condition, the stereotyping.
Well, it's the same thing, right? When I worked at Trader Joe's. You wouldn't know anything about Shakespeare.
Oh, of course, because you're
right?
a lowly retail employee, right? Yes, exactly.
You're right, lady. I wouldn't know anything about Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's take a quick break.
And then we'll come back and I'll do my 12 points.
You do your 12 points about the game.
Welcome back.
Okay. Now, this is 12 points of the game we went to,
yes,
or the Dodgers,
yes,
in general?
No, 12
or...
points of the game we went to, and I thought, you know...
Someone has some points about the game we saw on Sunday.
Well, my points.
Your points?
They're my points.
Oh, they're your points.
My points, I thought, that
oh,
were really cool
okay,
about Sunday's game.
Sorry, we've done ducks for so long that I thought you found, like, the 12 points of the Dodger
oh,
game
no.
By a goose.
No. But that would be cool. I do miss my ducks.
Okay, these are 12 points you had about the game.
Yeah, just my kind of favorite little aspects of the game in no particular order.
Okay, and this was Los Angeles Dodgers versus
the Padres.
San Diego Padres.
And the Dodgers won.
We won 2-1, and we actually won the game prior to that as well, so that was kind of cool. We were down 1-0. Then we tied it up 1-1, then had the home run, so 2-1, and that was the ending score.
Yes.
So, okay, let's hear your...
All right, in no particular order.
And I will comment on each of these.
Of course. All right, number one, the waffles or pancake question.
Oh, that was awesome. So, for the people who didn't see the game, or actually they probably didn't even see this, even if they did see the game, there was a question posed to all of the players. What was their preferred choice, pancakes or waffles? And that was really funny that they said that, because that's always been something that we've related to you, Pat, in the Warcraft game.
Yes.
Right? Pancakes, waffles, pie, that sort of thing. So
it's very appropriate. That was their question.
So it was very, very funny that, you know, so you had each player.
They knew I was going to be there.
They knew you were going to be there. Yes.
All right. Number two, the umpire getting drilled in the chest from the fastball and hearing the sound of the thump as it hit him.
Yeah.
And in fact, I found out, I looked up his name.
Oh,
I was
okay.
So curious about it. I looked up the umpire's name, home plate umpire, was Hunter Wendelstead. Hunter Wendelstead is his name.
He got hunted.
Oh, he got whomped on.
Yeah, that was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball that he took, and I don't know exactly where he hit him. You know, the one thing that I noticed after the fact, you know, he was bending over for a couple minutes.
Catcher was holding him up.
Yeah, catcher was holding him up, and he was bending over for a couple minutes. The thing I noticed is that while they do have that thick padding, that padding does not go up all the way to their neck. It was down kind of right above his chest line. So, and that ball was high. It was a high fastball. And I was thinking, man, I bet that must have hit him right there and maybe it ricocheted off or something and got him in one of the...
Wherever it hit him,
yeah.
It drilled him.
You
know, and like I said, the catcher, I thought was really interesting. He grabbed a hold of him to hold him up.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, baseball game is on hold. I'm helping a fellow human being because he just got drilled by a 96-mile-per-hour fastball.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, nothing else matters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. And that thing made a hell of a womp.
Oh, I mean, we could hear it.
I mean, you're sitting right behind home plate, literally, the first seed, and it's like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Number three, seeing Tommy Lasorda walk by me in the Dodger dining area.
The dugout club. Uh-huh.
I was like... Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda, the man.
And your...
Oh, yes. Yeah, so my nephew being a huge Dodgers fan. And personally, I just want to say thank you to Pat Sajak for giving us the tickets to the dugout club.
I hold my Dole tin up.
I've known Mr. Sajak for about 10 years now, and he's a wonderful man, very kind, great personality, love him to death. And every once in a while, he has... Some tickets available. He passes my way, and I appreciate that.
Oh, well,
you
have to tell him the story about the couch. He will die laughing about that.
He'll love that. So we had four tickets. So you and I went, and then I gave the other two tickets to one of my nephews, who's again super huge, big Dodgers fan, and he's always at Dodger Stadium. I mean, him being at Dodger Stadium is like me being at Disneyland, right? That's his thing. He's always there. And so I said, hey, what are you doing on this day? Or whatever you're doing on Labor Day weekend, Dodger game. And he said, I'm thinking of going to that game, right? And I said, well, if you're thinking of going, why don't you use these instead? And he's like,
oh. Well, they are. They're the Willy Wonka tickets. They truly are Willy Wonka tickets.
They are the Willy Wonka tickets.
Because the seats are the very first seats.
Yes.
Right there.
Right behind home plate, right.
I mean...
Front row.
Like, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, exactly. So he was like, okay. And so we're sitting there, in the, you know, outside the game. I don't think he saw him in the dugout club. You did. I don't think he did, though.
No, I don't think he did.
So we're sitting there, and then we look over to the left, and on the end of the dugout club, there's Tommy Lasorda sitting there.
Mr. Lasorda. Who had his restaurant in Marina Del Rey called Tommy Lasorda's.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So he said, you know, my nephew said, you know, God, I wonder if I could go over there and, you know, meet Tommy Lasorda. I said, go for it.
Worst can happen is no.
What are they going to say? No, he's not seeing people right now. Okay, whatever. So it took him a couple innings to get his courage up, right? Because he was nervous. He was like, oh, my God, I can't believe Tommy Lasorda's right over there. So eventually, then he finally went, and they said, no, not right now. Come back in a little bit. So they waited a little bit, he and his girlfriend, and then they went over, and then I looked over, and, you know, there he was.
And you took the picture.
His girlfriend took some pictures as well. I took a picture as well, but he basically had Tommy Lasorda sign his hat.
His baseball cap.
His LA Dodgers baseball hat, and then also he took a photo with him, I think, as well. So then he just came back, and he literally was shaking. He was shaking.
Well, that's like when I met Ian for the first time, uh-huh. Right? I didn't sleep at all that night. I was like, you know, stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was an awesome experience.
And how much does it speak about Mr. Lasorda himself?
Mm-hmm.
Because he could just say no, buzz off, kid.
That's right.
And yet he was between the innings. People would come up to him. Kids would come up to him. Adults mm-hmm. would come up to him, and he would graciously sign whatever they wanted and speak with them a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's a wonderful man. Wonderful man.
I'll speak with anybody who wants to speak with me. I'll sign anything they want.
We tell them don't listen.
You know. I already signed one Dole tin.
That's right.
I'll sign more.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so next
number four.
Number four.
All you can eat. In particular,
I like how you just interject. I like how you read with one eye closed.
Well, because that's actually how I read. I eat on one side.
Yes, no,
I eat on one side
you
of my
on
mouth.
This side, and you close the
and
other.
Well, because the my other eye is so bad.
Oh yeah.
Like if I have them both open,
then it's blurred.
Then I can't see at all.
Ah.
So I have to like.
Matey, I look like one-eyed reindeer.
I look like Popeye, dude.
you
freaking look Popeye.
Yeah, get you out.
I am. Take a pic. Wait, where's your camera? Wait, got it. Wait,
I don't know.
Stop this. Here, wait.
No, keep going.
Here, wait, here. Take a picture of my phone.
Here you go.
There.
You read your thing, and
I'll, with one eye.
I'll take a picture with.
All right. Let's see. Where am I? Number four. All you can eat, in particular, the Caesar salad and the Montebello mushroom salads. So what was like...
You got one red eye.
One red eye. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That is a good picture.
One red eye.
We're going to put that up on the Facebook and Twitter. There we go. No, but I mean, obviously it was all you can eat.
Okay, you have to read it again. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay,
I was taking a picture.
Okay. So number four.
I'm just going to be looking at your eye closed.
My eye closed. See, things you learn about me.
I'm going to do that too.
Right? Well, there's no more depth perception, right?
I know the
I have no more depth perception. I can just focus on what I'm reading.
I know when you're actually reading because I can see.
It's true.
You got the spell reflect going, ding.
I'm like, one eye. This is awesome.
Oh, wacky but cute.
Here we go. All you can eat food, in particular, the Caesar salad and the Montebello mushroom salad. I had many salads. All you can eat.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay, yes. All you can eat.
I did.
In the restaurant.
And I was scoring on the Caesar salads.
Yes, go next one.
Number five. Parking the couch in preferred parking, holding up my preferred parking stub to the parking attendant.
Yeah.
Which we spoke of previously.
Yes.
Number six, the courteous and friendly workers.
Yes.
When you went to the restroom, I struck up a conversation with the gentleman that was waiting on our table.
Okay.
And just talked to him for quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And found out, interesting enough, that he will be going over to Staples Center when the Lakers start to play.
Oh.
So, obviously, Lakers have their particular Lakerville dining experience.
Yes.
And so, he's going to be over there working at Staples.
That's cool. Well, you talk about the people that work there. I was wearing my Sandstorm Patrol t-shirt, which is the patrol for our 501st Sand Trooper Patrol. And, but I was also wearing my, Imperial Cog hat, and on the back it has my TK ID, my 501st Legion ID. So it said TK3425 on the back. So, as we come out of the dugout club, they've got the peanuts and the popcorn there, and we're about to go up the stairs, and I get a tap on the shoulder. And I hear someone say, "I can presume you're 501st?" And I turn around, and it's, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't know. We can hear you eating your dull pan here.
I'm trying to be quiet over here.
I can hear you, like, scraping against the tin there, man. I don't know the gentleman's name, and I've seen him for 2 years now. So I'll have to find out from Scott, our CO, what is his name. But this guy has a laser tag company, and it's called Party Extreme. And what he's done in the past, very, very cool, is he's gone to conventions and stuff, and of course we're there as well. And he's come over to us and kind of strikes up a deal where if we can send over some 501st Legion members to help battle, you know, kids and stuff in the kind of quasi laser tag arena, then he makes a donation to charity for us.
Oh, that is cool.
So it's very cool. So I turn around, and there's the guy that runs the thing, right? Runs Party Extreme Laser Tag. And I said, "Oh, hey, you know, I would never have thought I would have run into him
Well, how often have we said this?
Working inside
it is a small world.
Well, it is a small world.
It really is
exactly.
a small world.
So, you know, he handed me one of those cards. I obviously know who he is. I said, oh, yeah. I said, we're going to be there at Long Beach Comic-Con, you know, in November of this year. I think it's November 23rd.
We'll see him.
November 23rd, 24th. We'll see him there. Hey, we should do
that. Because we're going to be there. We'll do an interview
with him. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be
I'm
awesome.
With that.
So it was just, you know, talk about the people that you meet there. It was really funny. But the lady who took our order, she was so nice.
You know, I wish I would have gotten her name because she really was.
She was kind of middle-aged. She was blonde.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she was nice.
Just super, super sweet.
Yeah, and it was hot.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just the typical, like, I'm going to be nice just because I expect, I don't know, a nice tip or something of that nature.
Right.
You could tell she was truly, genuinely kind.
Just a nice person. Just an overall nice person. Very nice woman.
I wish I would have gotten her name.
Yeah. No, she was very, very nice.
So, well, you know what? When Mr. Sajak goes to a game, she very well could be working there.
Yeah.
And you know, ask him. Say, hey, do you remember what her name is? Or, we'll give her a shout-out on the show.
Yeah, no, she was very nice. And for those who don't know, did I say it in the show already? I don't know. My mind's already
probably
gone. But after you do the restaurant thing, which is the buffet food, then when you sit in the seats, you basically get food brought to you up to, like, the eighth inning.
Ordered potato, I don't know, wedges
potato
or...
Potato skins. And a nachos.
And they weren't your typical snack shop.
Right.
Variety of, I mean, the you know, they went back and the chef prepared them.
Yes, no, that you know, they're very, very nice.
I was like, oof.
So, you know, so we ordered quite a bit of food and stuff, and it was fun, but she was very nice and very upbeat. And then it was like, again, it was hot, so she was like, hey, we'll take a water. She brought us two. And then later on, she came out, and another person came out, they had not just wet towels. It's not like they took a napkin and went to the sink and wet it, these were chilled. They were freezer cold. And I'm like, wow, they've just got them in the freezer ready to go, right? You know? Here you go. And we're just handing out
this
wet towel, so that was nice. And, you know, it wasn't extremely... I mean, it was hot, it was very humid, but, you know, still, overall, it was a fun game. So, nice people, great experience.
Yeah.
And your next one.
All right, I'm going to close my eyes so I can read.
There you go.
Number 7, hearing Daft Punk... the Tron song.
Yes.
Over the loudspeakers as I was walking through to purchase my LA Dodgers baseball cap. Because I left so I can get a hat because I didn't want to be out in the sun.
Right.
And I was looking for a particular type of style of hat.
Fisherman's hat.
The little fisherman's hat.
The one that goes all the way around.
All the way around. But they were sold out.
They were sold out.
So as I was walking around, they started playing the Tron, Daft Punk. And I'm like, oh, this... And of course, the speakers... sound system at Dodger Stadium is massive.
It's a Delco.
Right? Like Park Avenue Buick. Right?
But instead you bought...
I bought an LA Dodger cap.
Right.
But this is kind of nice.
It looks good on you.
But it's what's cool is it's one size fit all, and I was a little bit leery about that. Like, oh, well, you know, like my hat size is like large. But it has a little Velcro-y, cool, not lame Velcro-y, but kind of a cool adjustable...
Back
partition area thingy going on. I'm like, hey, brilliant.
Sounds good.
Number 8. Ah, yes. The mysterious object that suddenly appeared before us.
Oh, yes.
Was it cork, wood, tar, or a dirt clod?
Yes. So we were sitting there, and of course there's the net right in front of us for all the foul balls that come whizzing by.
There were a couple that left divots.
Yes.
Just the velocity, the power behind the hit.
Right.
And it just left an impression in this net. You're like, holy smokes, dude.
But around the seventh inning or so, there was a batter that walked up to the plate, and I think he was for the Padres. I think he was a Padres player.
Yes.
And he walked up to the bat, and I think he had one foul ball or something like that. And then something happened. I don't know. I think what he was doing was, I think he had backed off the plate to do a check, you know, just kind of a, you know, a full swing, you know, just the whole, you know, swing the bat around a couple times just to stretch out his arms or whatever a couple times in between pitches. And then here comes this thing flying at us. And it couldn't have been maybe more than an inch and a half or 2 inches long. And it was kind of, it was thin, but whatever it was, it landed about... 2 feet in front of us on the dirt area.
Like, it just magically appeared.
It
was very weird, because it wasn't like you could see it coming at you.
No.
I just was sitting there, and like, all of a sudden, this thing just, like, appeared out of, thin air.
Whatever it was. And it was like, and it's not something, it's a big chunk. And the guy to the left was like, what is that?
Yeah, he even took a picture of it.
Yeah, I took a picture of it. We got it. Maybe we'll put that. What is this?
Yes.
You know, was it a piece of cork or something?
Oh, that could be a survey.
Or, piece of, bat that came off. Or, like you said, tar. Whatever it was, the mystery object.
Or, it might have just been a little dirt clod. Because they'll tap their bat.
On the dirt?
Right, on home plate.
Oh, could have been.
And so maybe a little piece of the dirt.
Dirt or something was there. Broke off, maybe.
Broke off and latched onto the bat.
Could have been. Number 9.
Watching the foul ball smack the glass panel of the announcer's booth, and then seeing the announcer hold up another baseball in his hand and showing it off to everyone who turned to look that way to see the glass ball, or see the ball hit the glass panel, as if he caught it himself.
Yes, well, and that happened twice.
It happened twice.
And I'm 100% sure that that's not glass.
Maybe a plastic
or polycarbonate,
whatever it is.
Because I'm sure that's happened more than once. But what's funny was to see twice that same panel get hit in the same game twice.
Well, that's
right?
Probably why they have that panel
well,
there.
That's exactly
right?
Why they do, right? Exactly.
Although, interesting enough, Vin Scully does not have some type of protective.
Well, none of the press boxes do.
Just that
one. Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's just common that the ball
goes
towards the press box
right there.
Like that.
But it's just so funny because he's holding it up as if he caught it.
Right.
And everyone's clapping.
Right. He's got a ball inside.
I just thought that was awesome.
And he holds it up like, yeah, I got it. Yeah.
So that was
number. And he put his hand up too.
Oh, he did? Yes.
Like when the ball was coming, you could literally see he put his hand against the glass and then it went thunk. And then he grabbed his little ball. He was like, yeah. Now, that was
And that's something you wouldn't see on TV.
No, that's right.
And that's not something you would see from any other particular location sitting out,
right?
You know,
right. But you know what you would see on TV? Us.
Yes,
because we were on TV.
Oh, were we?
Yes.
Oh, well, hello.
Yes, because my nephew's girlfriend's dad called her on the phone while we were sitting there and said, "I just saw you on TV."
See my peanuts all over my face. Talk about
not your face, the ground. I took a picture of that too.
Oh, did you?
We're gonna have to have a gallery of the outcome of Matt and Pat at the Dodger game.
You know, I felt really bad about that, about leaving my
Where else are you gonna put it?
Well, I mean, but it's just ingrained in me that
throw stuff away and
be courteous.
Again,
and,
going back to
right.
About how we were raised and our personalities. Yes. No, I understand.
I even said that to you at one point. I said, I feel bad about putting this down on the ground.
Yeah. But then if you didn't, and I'm gonna quote, I'm drawing a blank. The actor who's Commissioner Gordon.
Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman.
I love Gary. I have a man crush on Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman's character in Fifth Element. Right.
Oh, about chaos and the mess and all the little jobs.
That's right. So if you did not make that mess, then there would not be someone who would have a job to clean it up.
And then at this point, I'm supposed to eat a cherry and get it stuck in my throat.
Where's the man? Where's the robot to pat yourself on the back?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. Yeah.
Multipass. Okay, number 10. You will like this one.
Okay. I like them all so far.
Number 10, the trumpet playing.
Oh, yes.
Of Arturo Sandoval.
Uh-huh.
And he did the national anthem and then
God Bless America.
And then God Bless America.
Yes.
On his trumpet.
And his trumpet.
And during the national anthem, we were still inside the Dodger Dining Hall.
In the Dugout Club, yes.
And so we were watching it live on their TV screens.
Right.
But you could still hear it.
Oh, yes.
And the reaction when he hit a couple of the really cool, like just the style of playing it, a couple of the really cool flares, I guess you call them, whatever you want to call them, flares. And you could just see, like, everyone's like, whoa.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was just...
No, it was really cool.
Amazing.
Well, because the thing, especially with the national anthem, you have, I mean, let's face it, the majority, what do you say, what's the word I'm looking for the majority of the time?
Usually?
No.
More often than not?
Yeah, more often. Well, there's the word starts with a V. The status quo. You know, usually you have someone.
Well, sing it.
Sing it.
Right.
It's always a singer.
Usually, yes.
Right. So, I mean, you'll have a kid come up and sing, or have someone sing, or a pop star, or this, or a person, or whatever, like this. But to see someone walk up there on that for that whole stadium, and this game was sold out, for that whole stadium, one man, one trumpet, blew it away.
Oh, he did.
Blew it away.
It was awesome.
It was amazing to experience that.
And I actually found two clips on YouTube.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Nice.
I do research here. I'm not only the co-host, I have to do research. So, yeah, I'll send that to you because it was really cool.
Oh, well, look it up. Yeah.
He's awesome. He's won, what, I think like 9 Grammys?
Yeah, probably.
Right? I mean, rightfully so.
Well, and obviously, yes.
We should have him on the show.
Yeah. He can play. He can
do whatever he wants.
He can do our theme song on the trumpet.
Oh, that would be cool. And Chuck Mangione.
What?
I want Chuck Mangione as well on the show.
That'd there you go. Cool.
All right. Number 11.
Number 11?
Number 11. Seeing Vince Scully wave when I looked up at the press section.
Now, were you waving at him?
I waved at him.
And do you think he was really waving back at you?
You know, I don't know. I don't know who he was waving at.
But it was your moment to think that he was
waving
at you.
Well, but I mean, I was looking back. It was right after the baseball fellow announcer, right, showing off the ball. And Vince Scully got up, and everyone kind of laughed. And then everyone started to sit back down.
Yes.
And I remained standing because I was like, oh, there's Vince Scully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a legend, right?
Of course.
It's like Chick Hearn.
Yes.
Right?
I
miss Chick Hearn.
Oh,
God bless Chick Hearn. But, you know, there's Vince Scully, and I waved.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a wave.
Hello.
And he waved back.
That's awesome.
Now, he could have been waving at someone else within the crowd. I don't know.
The really hot chick.
Could have been. There were some definitely lovely ladies there, Dodger fans.
Right.
Especially a couple on the screen.
Yeah.
I remember one in particular that was doing the kind of the little dance. Like all the, right? The, you know, my milkshakes brings all the gentlemen to the yard.
Right.
I remember her quite well. But I didn't put her in my, like, top 12 moments. She's like 13.
Okay.
Anyway, but I just thought, like, I waved, he waved.
Uh-huh.
It could have been me. I don't know. I mean, my eyesight's not that great, right? So I couldn't really, just too far away to tell. But I just thought that was really cool.
That's very cool. Okay, here. I want to play this real quick.
Okay. Oh, is this a song?
I'm going to see if it'll still work.
Okay.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, and 9-time Grammy Award winner. Please welcome Arturo Sandoval.
Okay. I would let that go, but I don't want to be contacted and say, hey,
you can't do that.
You got to pay us money for that.
Well,
so anyways, go look it up.
Listeners can go find it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Go find it.
And, like, he does some flair stuff. Whatever. I don't know what you call it. I'm going to call it flair, where he does some cool stuff with his fingers to make it sound really awesome.
No, it was really cool.
And I was like, wow, that's
and that
real
guy,
deal.
That man has some lungs on him like you don't know. Man, to hit those high notes, you know, at the end, wow. He was pushing a lot of air to that trumpet to hit those notes. I was like, wow, that's why he's Grammy
winner.
That's
why he's awesome.
That's why he's amazing. Yeah, no, it was very cool. It's very cool to experience that. So, last one.
The last one.
Number 12.
Number 12.
All right.
Hang out with my buddy Matt.
Oh, thank you, Pat.
You got it.
That was not my number 12.
My number 12, save best for last. Right there.
I didn't have a number 12. I didn't have a number 1. You're the one that came up with those.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, like 12 main highlights of the day.
No, that's very cool.
That I, you know, will remember and
yeah, it's very cool.
Keep forever.
Yeah.
Unless I forget it at some point when I'm elderly.
By next week's show.
Probably next week. Like, next what? Week. We went to Dodger Stadium?
What?
What? Oh, yeah, Caesar salad.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back.
We'll do health tips.
Some more Matt and Pat.
Yeah, we'll do something.
All right, we'll be right back. We're back again.
Hello, hello. Happy Friday.
I'm sorry.
Happy Friday to all of our listeners, and happy Friday to all those that follow us on Twitter.
And Facebook.
And happy Friday to those that follow us on Facebook.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
And just happy Friday to everyone.
Yes.
Because we really, truly do need more happiness in the world.
I think we do. This is the wackiness coming in.
Well, no, this is a seriousness. I'm truly serious in saying that we do need more happiness in the world. True happiness, not like lame, retarded happiness.
I will remember that comment till my deathbed. Wacky but cute.
Wacky but cute.
Oh, I love it. So funny. All right, so you're doing...
Oh, yes, 25... I'm going to continue with 25 habits of people who are happy,
okay,
healthy, and successful.
This is number 6?
So I believe we're on number 6. Yes, here we are. Number 6.
If you're happy and you know it, start at 6.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. Okay, let me close my eyes so I can read. Number 6. They don't please people.
Yeah, you know what? We got to backtrack a little bit.
Because they don't please people.
We got to backtrack a little bit and remind people that...
Not to listen.
Exactly.
Remind people our motto is don't listen.
That there is a common sentence before each of these.
A common sentence?
Yes, and that common sentence is, this is the... you say happy people, right? Or
shiny happy people like REM.
And so I'm sorry, not sentence, but let's say what do you call a partial sentence? I mean,
run-on sentence?
No, not a run-on. Just a little. You have
fragment.
A
sentence fragment.
Sentence fragment. There you
sentence
go.
Sentence fragment.
There you go. So
the show is all fragmented.
There's a sentence fragment before each of these, and that is happy people.
Like I just said, right? It's people who are happy, healthy, and successful. Well, they're habits.
But these are
habits.
But I'm saying you say number 6.
Oh.
And then you say...
Well, I mentioned that 1 through 5 last show.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you say number... You start at number 6, and all you read is the fragment.
Oh, yes.
So it doesn't make sense, is what I'm saying.
Well, what does make sense on this show?
So you have to... So starting with the fragment, happy people, and then number 6, right? So read number 6 again. Read number 6 again.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm gonna do the fragment.
All right.
Okay. Happy people.
Don't listen to the Matt and Pat show.
Exactly.
I had to throw that in there. That was such a good setup.
So, anyways, go ahead.
But number 6 is they don't people please.
They don't people please?
Yes.
People please meaning don't care about what other people say.
Meaning not that they're not going to try to make others happy, but they're not going to try to please people that are just tools.
Well,
right.
What's the common phrase? You can't please everyone, right?
Yes.
So,
very true.
Go ahead. Number 7.
Number 7.
I'm waiting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like happy people something. Okay.
Oh. Okay, I will. Okay, yeah, now I will.
Yeah, go for it.
Happy people.
Happy people. They see difficult and challenging situations as opportunities for personal growth.
I totally and 100% resemble that statement.
Resemble that statement?
Yes, of course.
Well, you do live by it, yes?
Yes.
Well, it's a matter of perception. How do you perceive things that you have to deal with in life?
How do you perceive that?
I will not relate that over
all right.
The recording of the show. I'll tell you off air. No. Although you already know what I'm going to say. Because it does.
Okay.
Vavivi. We're going to have a Valentine, St. Valentine's Day
massacre.
Oh, man. Wacky. Every show is a massacre.
Wacky but cute.
All right. So, yes. So things are difficult and challenging.
Yes.
They're really, truly opportunities for growth and development and furthering
yourself. I agree.
Yourself.
Because I like a good challenge. Because it lets me prove to myself that I'm able to figure something out and you know, grow from that experience.
Yes. So, I agree.
Number eight. Happy people.
They consider handling rejection a skill and are resilient to it. So, okay, sure. Someone says no, but they're not going to get bent out of it, right? And they're not going to be defeated over it.
Earlier in my life, I would initially get bent out of shape or become very defensive. You know, I wouldn't say felt rejected per se, but
like just, slighted.
Yeah.
You're sliding me.
Or yeah, just kind of, you know, just thrown for a loop, if you want to put it that way. But, you know, as I've grown over the years and stuff, like I said, it just becomes a challenge. You know, if someone says no to me, then it becomes number six. It becomes a challenge. Okay. Now, how can I, you know, what can I do to, you know, help you see my point of view? You know, to be able to...
Or get around it.
You know.
Right.
Or whatever, right?
So, well, I mean, but that's just it. A lot of times, there is a certain amount of rejection within life.
I'm eating honey roasted peanuts.
Those
here.
Are good.
Yeah.
You want some? I had, you know what? I had so many peanuts at Dodger Stadium. I'll take a few, thank you. And I had that Caesar salad.
Mm-hmm.
I love Caesar salad. So next time I go to the Dodger game, not to get off track here, but next time I go to the Dodger game, in order to kind of replicate that whole fun Sunday experience,
Soup Plantation.
I'm going to go to Soup Plantation beforehand and eat all you can eat Caesar salad. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna have Caesar salad tonight, maybe for dinner. Okay.
Next one.
Number eight.
Happy
no,
people.
I'm sorry. Number nine.
Happy people.
They make time for themselves, whether it's getting 8 hours of sleep every night, which mm-hmm. is pretty difficult.
I get nine.
Finding 15 minutes to read the newspaper in peace.
I don't read a newspaper.
Well, I read a lot with one eye. or an hour to go to the gym.
I don't do that either.
Well, I can't go to the gym now because the whole Loyola thing, which is a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
But I do walk the doggies.
Yes, that's good.
They make it a priority, just like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
When you take care of yourself, you have a bigger impact on others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I was
the positive experience.
I was going to tell you about this, or save it for the show, which now we're doing the show, so therefore I don't have to save it. I can tell you.
Okay.
Is it the jeans that I'm wearing? Because remember, well, we were talking about the whole taco thing, so I'll make a note of the taco. We'll talk. Maybe we'll take a break after this thing and we'll talk about the taco incident.
All right.
Right? Wait, I got to make a spot here. Tacos. Incident.
Okay.
About how you related while we were driving. He said, oh, well, remember, you know, you're going to do the 12 taco eatery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my doctor said, oh, you try not to eat junk food and all that stuff. And,
right.
Eat
healthier.
You know, get more fit.
Right.
As opposed to not being fit.
Right.
Well, the jeans I'm wearing now
uh-huh.
are 5 sizes in the waist less than what I wore back then during the taco thing, right? So that's like, okay, these jeans I bought maybe,
well done, Pat.
Maybe like two, oh, wow. Okay, wait, 2013? 3 years ago?
Okay.
Because they were like super cheap.
And they were too small.
Uh-huh. And then this morning I was like, I'm going to see if they fit. Mm-hmm. And I put them on and they fit.
Nice.
So I'm like, hey, all, you know, not eating the junky food and the chips and the this and the that, and drinking my green tea and eating my Dole pineapple and my greens plus, all that little stuff.
Yeah.
It's five, like my waist is 5 inches less.
Wow.
Right?
That's good job, Pat.
So I still have ways to go, obviously.
No, you look great.
But.
You look great. I'm very proud of you for
that. So there you go.
That's awesome. Well done.
So
keep up the good work.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
It can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done.
There you go.
All right. Number 10.
In 20 minutes or less.
Usually it takes me about 2 minutes, but that's another story. Okay. Number 10.
The picture fonts.
Happy people. You're going to say happy people.
Sorry.
They are spiritual. That doesn't necessarily mean they're religious, although I am. It could mean setting aside time for reflection.
Yes, meditation or right? Zen or just, yeah.
Whatever it is.
You need it. You need it. No matter what, even whether you live in a big city or you live in a small farm town or whatever, everyone needs personal time. Just to even gel or chill or whatever you want to call it, even if that, right?
Zen out.
Zen out or reflect or meditate exercise for some is that
when
as well?
When I don't spend my time in prayer, because I try to pray every day, if I don't, I know the difference.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's personal time, regardless, you know?
I put on my polyphonic Talascholar music or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pray my little rosary or I'll meditate or whatever. That's my little my little time. Mm-hmm. And it really does recharge.
You know, ironically, and I know some people are going to find this weird, but again, I think it goes up, you know, goes again along with how we're raised or, you know, things that happen as we're kids that affect us and that sort of thing. I've noticed that, you know, I drive for a living, right? I basically drive for a living. Whether it's my job or taking the kids to school or coming home or whatever like this, I'm literally on the freeways and on the roads an average of 3 hours a day in total. And I've noticed ever since I got the police interceptor vehicle, I have my little iPhone, and I did this in the PT for a while too. But in the PT, I also had my sound system. I don't have the sound system in the interceptor because I don't want to put it in there. I like the trunk space. I got a lot of trunk space. I like it. I don't have a big stereo box in there or whatever. So while I was in the PT, I used to listen to, you know, music a lot. And music can have a big impact on your mood.
Oh, well, it definitely does. So, oh, for sure.
So you can have some music that will hype you up. You can have, obviously, some music that will calm you down, classical or slower beats or whatever like this. And I've noticed that ever since I switched to the police interceptor, my driving personality has completely changed. And I was thinking about this a few days ago, about how come I drive very slow now? Like, I'll be in a slow lane, I'll be going 60 miles an hour. And granted, one reason I got the police interceptor is because it's a very safe car. It's like a freaking tank, right? And I'm like, well, if I'm driving the kid, you know, to and from school, I just want something that's bigger, safer. I've always had an affinity for police in some standpoint. Not that I want to be a police officer, but just, you know, maybe a, I don't know what's the word for it.
Dispatcher.
No, not to be something.
Oh.
Not to be something, but just
supportive.
Appreciation.
Supportive.
Appreciation of people that will go out and risk their lives for us. You know, just like we do for veterans and stuff. And that was another cool thing at the Dodger game, where they actually had the veteran of the game. That was cool. But the thing is I noticed that when I went over to the police interceptor, I mean, I've got a, you know, radio on there, but there's no way in the car as it is right now that I can play my music on my, you know, iPod or whatever like this. So instead, what I've been doing is listening to the little police scanner app, right? And something my mom told me, who's probably listening to this show.
Hello.
Something that she told me was that when I was a baby.
Oh, yes, I remember you said this before.
And, you know, she'd have the rocking chair or whatever, or she'd try, you know, rock me to sleep or whatever. My dad bought my mom a police scanner. Old school police scanner, and I think it's still in her garage. And would have that going, and I would fall asleep to that. So that was very calming for me. And so now here I am. I'm on the busy, busy, super stressful rage, you know, freeways, right?
Of Los Angeles.
Of Los Angeles, where people are cutting off.
As horrible as they are.
And there's road rage and all this stuff. And here I am in the slow lane, just cruising at 60 in my police car, and just listening to that same thing I listened to when I was a kid, when I was a baby, that calmed me. And I'm totally mellowed out, and I'm totally calm.
Well, when I had, if you remember, when I had Toady, my truck Toady, my Nissan truck.
Oh, that's what you called it.
Right, I called it Toady after Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
And it was a wild ride.
Well, but it was.
A little tire blowout.
Right? Oh, well.
With Will and...
Should I tell that story? Well, it wasn't with Will. It was with Dave and Ann.
Oh, Dave and Ann,
my
yeah.
friends Dave and Ann. Well, we were driving down to go to my sister's in San Diego. Where we're on the San Diego freeway heading south. And my little truck, which was a blue little Nissan lightweight pickup.
Yeah, had a little small bed truck.
Small bed truck.
With the bench seat where you could fit three people.
And that's it.
Right.
And we're driving, and I looked down at the speedometer, and I thought, you know, I'm going kind of fast. It's like 90 miles per hour.
That is kind of fast.
I'm like, this is kind of fast. I'm like, I was in the fast lane, too. I mean, it was just one of those things where you're just driving and you're just kind of in that little zone,
mm-hmm.
and you're not really aware of the speed you're going at,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, I wasn't trying to, you know, go fast. I just was
mm-hmm.
fast. And I looked down and I said, I'm going to change lanes and get over and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I start change lanes and something happened. It felt like the whole bottom chassis fell out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just this big kawump.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that pitcher sound,
mm-hmm.
only more so,
mm-hmm.
where the umpire gets hit, right? It was just, and I thought, like, what was that? I don't know what that was. And the steering became immobilized. Like, I couldn't steer. And of course, now the car, though, the velocity is now it's going, well, it starts to flip. It starts to get airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I turned to Dave and Ann and I just said, hang on. That's all I said. And the car literally got up to, I don't know, what degree is that? Like a 75 degree or, I mean, we were I'm gonna flip, and mm-hmm. I just the thought I had of in my mind at that moment was like, man, this really sucks because we're probably gonna die, and it's gonna be my fault. Like that's literally the thought I had. I was like kind of embarrassed.
Driver.
It was like driver error, and I was like, and I just thought like, man, we're all gonna die, and it's gonna be my fault. That's kind of that really does suck. Like that was my thought.
Nice,
right? And I just thought. You know, the other thought I had was just, okay, just kind of tap the brakes a bit and just kind of turn into it a little bit.
So you were tilting to the right?
Well, the left side of the car was lifting up.
Okay, so you're tilting to the right.
And we're tilting to the right. We're,
uh-huh.
And we're getting air, we're,
right.
you know, airborne, if
right.
you will.
Right.
And so
you turned it to the left.
I turned the wheel to the left,
uh-huh.
and it brought the car down.
Yes.
Then we did this donut. We did a 360 donut
uh-huh.
through three lanes
nice.
On the 405 freeway.
Nice.
And the way we ended up after that spin, we were facing north on the southbound 405.
Awesome.
So I'm now facing all the traffic coming at us.
Mm-hmm.
But our momentum, I don't know how or why, but the momentum is carrying me backwards at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, it's kind of a good position. We're not flipped over, and I'm going to hit the embankment wall. But that's okay, because we're not heading into it. We're going to hit it mm-hmm. from the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just kind of the split second, like, oh, okay. And I remember I turned my head. And I'm looking, and now I'm, like, there's still not, I still can't really turn the wheel.
Right.
But I can kind of turn it, I can muscle it enough mm-hmm. where I can kind of direct it. And I still just kind of kept pressing the brakes gently. And we hit the middle embankment, but not very hard.
Wait, so you backed into concrete?
Yeah. But not really hard. We just kind of went like brunk.
As you did in the Park Avenue.
Yeah. Same thing.
With Mark and myself.
Yeah. And after we stopped, of course, all the cars in front of us were all skidded, they're all stopped, right? The whole freeway is now stopped.
Right.
And, of course, there's smoke from the tires all, mm-hmm. right? And I turned to Dave and Ann, I said, are you guys okay? And they're looking, like, they had this, like...
fear of God in them?
You know, like, their life passed before them. Look. And they're like, yeah? And I'm like, okay, cool. And I got out of the truck. and my reaction, oh man, I looked and we were bringing some stuff from Costco. We were bringing, or like, we had a thing of blueberries
mm-hmm.
to give to my sister, right? Mm-hmm. Little, you know, like 24 pack of blueberries. And they got out of the car, of the truck, and I was out and I was looking at the back, like nothing came out of the back. And I was like, the blueberries are still here. And I raised my hands like this. I'm like, yeah. And Aunt took a picture of that, of me. So somewhere, if I don't know, still around, but there's a picture of me like, yeah, right? And the whole freeway stopped. And they were like all pale white.
Mm-hmm.
And this car pulls up and he's like, are you guys okay? I'm like, yeah, we're okay. He's like, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, yeah, it was pretty cool. And he's like, I called 911. Okay, cool. And then pretty soon the fire department and or highway patrol showed up mm-hmm. and they're like, you guys okay? And we're like, yeah, we're okay. And they're like, well, what happened? I said, I don't know. Lost control of the truck. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't say I was speeding, right?
Right.
Didn't want to say that, right? And he looked at the tire. He's like, well, your left rear back tire is blown out. You had a left blowout tire. I'm like, wow. So I got in my car. He's like, well, drive over to the side. Okay. And I got in, you know, toady, and like, drove over his side. And then AAA came, picked us up, popped a new tire on, and off we went.
Nice.
And a couple of weeks later, there's an article at LA Times, because during that time you had the Ford Explorers or whatnot, right? Like, they kept having...
The rollouts because of the Firestone.
Rollouts, right?
And rollouts from the Firestone tires,
and,
right?
In the LA Times article, there's one part of the article that said, 97% of all rear tire blowouts and excessive speeds of, I'll say, I don't know, 75 miles per hour end in fatalities. Only the most experienced of drivers could hope to survive. And I was like, yeah. So I highlighted that, and then I cut it out.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to Mark's, because I had Mark look at the truck,
mm-hmm.
and he put it up on the lift, and he's like, oh, here's part of your tire got wrapped around one of the, I don't know, under
pipes or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. So he gave that
life
to me.
Shaft or something.
And
yeah.
So I put that in along with that little statement from the LA Times
mm-hmm.
in this little package, and I mailed it off to Dave. I said, okay, Dave, you can only open this when Aunt comes over.
Okay.
And so he's like, well, where are you sending me? I'm like, just trust me. I won't tell you what it is, but when Aunt gets there to hang out, then open it up. He's like, okay.
Okay.
So I heard back like a week later. He's like, you bastard. So that's that story.
Oh, my goodness. That's cool. Well, let's take a break. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
What were you talking about originally that brought on this story?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know. But here we go. You're talking again. I'm trying to break.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we'll do a break.
We'll be back.
Yes?
You're going to close the show out?
Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll be right back. All right.
Hello?
Close out the show for us, Pat.
All right. Well, I guess I'll leave you with a quote.
Okay.
That's from one of my favorite films.
Okay.
Braveheart.
Oh, love it.
And this is the quote. Your heart is free. Have the courage to follow it.
I totally agree. Love it. That's a good one.
And that's it.
There you go.
That's my quote.
That's your quote.
That's my closeout.
That's your closeout.
Just sweet, concise. No rambling. It's all good to go.
No rambling.
It's just, you know, your heart is free.
All right.
Have the courage to... Well, I guess I'm rambling right now, aren't I? Shoot. trying not to ramble, and then I'm rambling on about Braveheart quote. Oh my gosh, dude. Happy Friday.